and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry Nixon, and I'm excited to be here with Nat Friedman. He's the CEO of Xamarin. Maybe you've already heard of Xamarin and the work that they do about cross-platform compiling. And I'm also here with Chris Mills, who's going to tell an exciting story about Draw a Stick Man. His company, HitSense, he's the president of it, put it together leveraging the tools that Xamarin provides. Guys, thanks for being on the show.
Really happy to be here. Thanks for having us, Jerry.
Now, before we start talking about the experience that you had about putting all this together and how you guys really used Xamarin to have a success story here, let's just go through about who you are. Nat, let's start with you. Just give me a feel for who you are, where you come from in the industry.
Great. Well, I'm real happy to be here. I was actually an intern at Microsoft in 1997 on the IIS team. So, a longtime developer and in the Microsoft ecosystem for a huge chunk of my life. Started a Linux company in 1999 that was called Ximian, and we were focused on Linux desktops. So I sort of took a turn off the Microsoft path for a while there. And at that company, we created an open source project called Mono. And if you've heard of Mono, Mono is a full open source implementation of the .NET framework. So our idea was to get C# developers and their code on a Linux at the time. That's evolved, and eventually through a pretty interesting and decade-long saga has become Xamarin. This is our new company that's about a year and a half old. And what we do is we help developers become mobile developers. We take C# developers and .NET developers, and overnight we turn them into mobile rock stars, and we help them build iOS, iPad and iPhone apps, and Android apps, and Windows 8 apps using the skills and the tools they already have. Company's been super successful, and I'm lucky enough to have co-founded it with my best friend Miguel de Casa, and I'm CEO of the company.
Very cool. Very cool. Wow. Rock stars overnight. Rock star in a box. Yeah, not everybody can say that. Very cool. hey, Chris, tell us who you are, where you come from, and who you are.
Yeah, I'm Chris Mills, and I'm the president of HitSense. I actually have a twin brother whose name's Clinton, and when we were sophomores in high school, we started the company HitSense that we're still doing today. We actually started as just a software development firm, and we've been in business for 13 years now, and we've obviously, through the technology change, moved over and migrated to the mobile world, which is what today brings us into a lot of mobile development and the mobile applications.
Yeah, nice. Now, Chris, are you the good twin or the evil twin?
It depends on what day that you're talking about, but I'm going to go with the good one because he's not
nice.
Here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's the evil twin. I could tell by not seeing him he's the evil twin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
let's start with just Xamarin. Let's begin with Xamarin. Some developers might be listening. They certainly have, I would think, heard of Mono, so they understand this idea, but let's talk about it technically, just for a second. If I'm a developer listening in, maybe I don't know what it is, or I'm kind of suspicious of my understanding of it. Help me out, Matt. What are you actually accomplishing?
So what we do is we provide a platform and a set of tools that allows a C# developer to write fully native iOS and Android and Mac apps in C# using Visual Studio, using the tools that they know and love, and having those apps compile to native binaries that they can ship in the iOS App Store for iPhones or iPad. So what we let you do is, as a C# developer, you don't have to throw away all the knowledge or even all the code that you've written in the past. You don't have to learn Objective-C or lock yourself into a platform-specific language like Objective-C. Instead, you can use C# and write C# code across iPhone and Android. The model, what's really interesting, because there's a lot of people who try to offer cross-platform development solutions, the model we have is kind of special. So we don't promise 100% write-once-run-anywhere experience where you use a UI abstraction layer and your app ends up looking like kind of an alien on every device. Instead, we tell you to use MVC and architect your app such that your view is specific to each device. So when you build a user interface for the iPad, you're using all of the native user interface controls for iPad, but you're using them from C#.
And the reason I deploy my app, I write it with Visual Studio, I use Xamarin so I can deploy it over to an Apple device, and it doesn't look like – it looks like an Apple app, right? An iOS app.
Yeah, exactly. So when you put a button on the screen, you use the native iOS UI button class, except that you use it from C#, and you're able to do that because we've projected the entire native iOS SDK into C# classes. So instead of having to type Objective-C and you know, you can do everything using IntelliSense from C#. And then you write a specialized user interface for each platform, which means that the app feels totally wonderful and native on each device. But the rest of the code, all the non-user interface code, is shared. And what's really been impressive to me is that the shared code ends up being often about 75 or 80% of the lines of code in the app. So you're able to share a huge amount of your app between devices without in any way sacrificing the app experience. And this is really important because basically consumers are really picky today. They want really good apps. People no longer want kind of kludgy, slow, alien feeling, you know, crappy simulations of native apps. You know, I thought the Mark Zuckerberg had like a real interesting quote at a conference about 4 or 5 months ago when he said the biggest mistake we made at Facebook as a company was betting too much on HTML5 and not enough on native. And then they redid their Facebook app to be native, and engagement doubled on the app overnight.
Wow.
Because it was just more responsive. It was just less irritating to use. So that we believe in that. We believe that we're against bad apps. We're in favor of really good apps. And
you have that on the wall? We're against bad apps. Nice.
Yeah,
we take a stand. The line.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah,
let me stop you for just a second. So I'm a Microsoft developer, so there's a few things I know, right? The first thing I know is that Visual Studio is the best IDE in the world, right? That compared to everything else, as good as it might be, there really is no comparison, right? It's certainly the most mature, certainly the most feature-rich, certainly easiest to use.
Add-ins that you get there, I mean, the extensions to Visual Studio that make it
possible
for refactoring and so on.
And the other thing I know is, like, managed languages like C# are the most, I can be so productive in those app in that language. And I'm a Microsoft developer too, and so I've spent my career mastering C#. And so because I know C# so well, because I know Visual Basic so well, it's a painful experience when I go to another platform to try and hack out something on their tools. And Xamarin is really, that's the first gap that Xamarin is really bridging.
Well, it's not only painful, but we think it results in better apps if you have the power of a statically typed modern managed language like C#, where when you build your app, your compiler is doing a lot of the work ahead of time to find problems and that don't show up at runtime, whereas if you're using a non-statically typed language, like if you're trying to use JavaScript to build your app, it's risky. You know, it's just riskier, and given the way the dev cycle works for mobile apps, it's much better to catch these things ahead of time. You know, you ship the app, it sits on the device. You know, if the app crashes, that's just a terrible experience. You're going to get a bad review.
Yeah, no doubt.
The apps.
Nice. Okay, Chris, thank you for listening. You've been over in the wings here listening to us. And here we could go on and on about how great Visual Studio is and how great C# is. And fundamentally, Xamarin is a C# compiler that compiles down to different platforms.
That's right. The way we think about it is that we provide all the tools and all the elements that you need to build an iPad, an Android, a Mac, a Windows app. So there is a compiler. We provide a C# compiler. And the way it works is that you write your C# code. We compile it to .NET IL, just like the Microsoft C# compiler does. But then to deploy it on an iOS device, we've built what we call an AOT compiler. So instead of having that IL run in a JIT environment, which is what normally happens with .NET, we actually do an ahead-of-time compilation of the IL to ARM machine code. So
nice.
What results from that is that on an iPhone, you're shipping an ARM binary. You're not shipping, we don't translate to Objective-C, we're not interpreting on the device or anything like that. I mean, it's amazing because the performance is awesome as a result. So you can build games, and you can build 50, 60 frame per second, really, you know, immersive experiences and simulations, and things just aren't clunky. And so that's really cool. If you look at most JavaScript-based cross-platform frameworks, like PhoneGap, for example, they run inside a JavaScript interpreter.
Sure. Yeah,
on these devices, and they all have different behaviors, and so of course, if you have a list of items with more than 100 items in it, it's going to be jerky and laggy, and users care. So So it's really neat. It's quite an innovation. We don't even think Microsoft has an ahead of time IL compiler yet. So it's an area that we're really proud of.
So let me make so those are probably some common questions you get. First of all, performance. Is this going to be a killer to performance because now it's interpreted all these other? But you're going straight to machine. So it's not a performance.
No, it's a binary. Right? Unless you're a super, unless you're an expert, you can't tell that it's just not a normal iOS binary.
And that's beautiful.
There's thousands of them. And the folks that we just had one of our customers ship an app. It's just gorgeous. It's called the company's called Ardio. I don't know if you've heard of them, but spelled like radio without the A. And they're a competitor to Spotify. So it's a music streaming service. They just shipped just an unbelievably nice iPhone and Android app. And it's been getting rave reviews. Wired loved it. And you would never know looking at this app that it wasn't written in Objective-C on iPhone and Java and Android and so on.
Now, Matt, I have heard of another app that is written using Xamarin, made by a company called HitSense. Have you heard of this app?
Oh, Draw Stickman. It is an unbelievable game.
Yeah,
We're so proud to have helped these guys out a little bit with this. It's one of the most creative games you'll ever see.
So here you and I have been going like totally nerd out here. Let's move over and let me ask Chris. Chris, first of all, welcome to the show. Are you still awake?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just took a 5-hour energy drink, so I'm good.
So okay, great. So you're like jumping up and down. All right, perfect. Yeah. So Draw Stickman is a pretty fun game. But tell us a little bit about Draw Stickman. How it's unique in the market.
Yeah, the story is really interesting because we actually had one of our creative design folks here that came to us with the idea. He actually set myself down and said, hey, I've got this idea. It's kind of loose. I don't know exactly what it is, but I want somebody to draw a stick man, and I want to make him come to life. And that was just the simple part of it. And, of course, we looked at each other and were like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No, but we were like, it sounds creative. It wasn't to make money. There wasn't anything to do with it. And so we told him, hey, 10% of your time or one day a week, start working on this idea. And so he started developing the algorithms that you needed to identify all the points to say, I'm going to make this move and really all the creative ability behind it. And really what it allowed, what he tried to do is make it where people could draw their own characters and then draw their own, events or their own actions that are taking place inside of the landscape. And so there's really not a game out there that allows you to really create, your environment that you're in and interact with that environment through a drawing. And yeah, with consoles, it's not even possible because, you've got a joystick and you can't really draw whatever you want. And touchscreen devices and mice and things like that really has made that, possible. So he came up with it. It actually started out as a website, and we put it up. And about
probably written in Flash at the beginning?
No, actually, we did it all in JavaScript. We used SVG graphics. And so that was one thing that was very important to us. This gentleman that came up with the idea, his name's Phil Williams, and he is the expert Flash programmer. But he wanted to make sure that people on this was right when the iPhone started getting big. He wanted to make sure those people could play it as well. So he programmed it all in SVG graphics. So it was completely JavaScript enabled, and basically we had Internet Explorer 7 users could use it, and iPhone users could use it. So it allowed it where anybody that came to it could play it. You didn't have to have the Flash plugin. And actually, 3 days after we launched it, in the middle of the night, we had it on our servers that are located here.
Boy,
our servers all went down.
It's like that commercial where they see the sales and it goes ticking,
yeah,
ticking, and then all of a sudden it goes.
Yeah.
So you guys were, you knew you had something for sure.
Actually, we had no idea what was going on. We thought that our fiber optics cable went down because our bandwidth was 100% utilized.
You were hacked.
And we just thought that there must be a virus or something. And we were actually going to Bahamas the next morning at like 6 a.m.
Of course you were.
So we got up. We got up in the middle of the night. We had to offload. We offloaded all the images to CacheFly, and we set it up on. We set up some load balancing, some things like that, and basically within about 2 hours, got everything running, running again. We had our ISP increase our bandwidth limits, and ended up doing. You know, on the first day, we had like 2 million unique people that went to the website in one day. So we quickly said, hey, well, we've got something here. And we decided that we wanted to bring it, you know, native onto the different devices. And we were already using Xamarin products. We traditionally do custom software development for our customers. And we are a Microsoft shop, and we said, all right, we had customers coming to us and saying, I want an iPhone app. And so we were already, actually, we were using Mono for some of our Linux applications where we were writing .NET programs and we were utilizing it on Linux. And so we were already familiar with the platform, and we came out and said, well, we're going to, you know, we want to utilize Xamarin. And so we started right back when Xamarin, we were with them right there in the beginning, utilizing their products on the iPhone and the iPad. And actually, we were really debating between using the new Adobe Flash programs where they were compiling to Objective-C or Xamarin, and we spent a lot of time, and we really feel like we made the right decision back then. Obviously, a lot of people know the story with how the whole Adobe thing ended up and the lawsuits and everything there. So
yeah, dodged a bullet there. Good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So so you were already using Xamarin, so you're already building everything in C#. There's logic to this, right? I mean, don't be mistaken. There's a lot. I'm sure that JavaScript code was very complicated. And now, of course, if anybody's played your game, I've played it. I mean, it's far more sophisticated than just drawing a stick man and having him walk around the screen. It's very interactive. He's got his own little sagas that he goes on to. It's I mean, it's a full-fledged game, and it's deep.
Yeah, we knew, you know, talking about, you know, the frames per second, we knew we needed 40, 50 frames per second. We know we weren't going to get that out of JavaScript and SVG. And we didn't have Objective-C programmers and Java programmers here to go out and say, let's develop this. So with Xamarin, we were able to get the 50 frames per second that we needed to make a full-fledged game. You know, the thing started out as a two-minute kind of walkthrough, and now it's a 14, 15-level game that takes people, you know, 5 or 6 hours to pass it. So
Of all the productivity that you're responsible for sucking up. It's great.
Exactly. So many people could actually be working, and instead we're giving them –
All right, so don't give me specific numbers. Just give me general ideas. When you first created it, you said – I think actually what you said was he could use 10% of its time, which was one day a week. He's got a long week, or you're kind of glad you guys didn't draw a calculator. But yeah. Anyway, no. How long did it take to really put together the web version before you were happy with that first version?
Great question, and really it's a good story because the Phil was kind of the mastermind behind it, and we set him down and. We actually, when we put the website up, we had to say, okay, how are we going to pay for all this bandwidth? We were spending like $2,000 a day in bandwidth, and the whole idea was, the message was to be creative, and we were just trying to get a cool, fun message out there. There was never any, you know, we weren't trying to make money with it, but we couldn't spend $2,000 a day in bandwidth. So we decided to put ads on there. Well, we made a significant amount of money through the ads, so we set everybody down, and we said, all right, we've got two options. One, we can split up the profit and say, hey, this was a fun project and we can call it a day. Or we can reinvest this back into here and we can try to make a full-fledged game and try to make this thing. And everybody said, you know, hey, we want to reinvest this into the project. So we actually ended up with, I think we've got 8 people on the team. So we hired in 3 animators. We hired in 2 additional programmers, or 3 additional programmers. So we've got a team of 8 that actually work on it full time now.
Nice. And then, so you build it for the web. The first thing you do is you build it native iOS. What was the time frame? Like, how long did it take you to port, you know, or to reinvest, I guess, from your web version into a? And I realize from that it was actually an evolution into a real game as well. But but how much time are we talking? You were done in a week. Or you were done in a month, or
it's 3 months. To get the team together, you know, we storyboarded it out. We created the stories. We had to. Phil actually personally designed all 15 levels. you know, coming up with that. We did a lot of focus group testing. We partnered with schools, local schools, and brought it in there and had them play through different levels and saw how they interacted, and maybe we would move a tree from here to here or do something to make it a little bit easier. So we tried to, you know, to us it's about quality, you know, yeah. And there's so many apps that are out there. You know, you see all the commercials with the millions of apps, and you know, honestly, 99% of them are just nobody will ever use. And so we knew to make this successful that we had to have, it had to be quality.
Yeah, and definitely you guys hit the mark. Now, all this time you're using Xamarin in the back end, right? You've got your C# developers, and they are putting out all the logic probably behind the different levels and all the pieces. And so you're pushing all this, and you're still deploying out to iOS. Now you've made a decision. You're going to put it off to, or you're going to port it over to Windows 8, right?
Yeah, that's another great story. We actually, our plan was to release the Draw Stickman Epic, which is the full-length game. The plan was to release it on the week of Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft actually reached out with us because of our success and said, we want you on Windows 8 on October 26th. Well, at that time, they didn't even know about the game that we were working on, some of the things that we had on the back burner. And so we kind of got the whole team together and said, hey, here's an opportunity to be there day one on Windows 8. You know, what do you guys think? And so we kind of tossed the idea around. So one of the programmers, the head programmer, went back and said, you know, obviously we programmed it in C#. Let's see, how quickly can I just get it onto a Windows machine?
Yeah.
So he spent 4 hours and had the game completely working on a Windows 8 machine. And the only reason that was possible is because we were already in C#, we were utilizing the Xamarin products, and we were able to just basically make some changes, use some environments, change some screen resolutions, and have it work.
No. Chris, I'll tell you what you were doing. You were making rock stars overnight. That's what you were doing. That's awesome. 4 hours. That's an incredible. I mean, you could have said 40 hours, and it would have been an unbelievable story. I mean, honestly, 4 hours is pretty. That's remarkable. And granted, a game has a lot of flexibility in the Windows 8 kind of ecosystem, right? There are a couple things they can kind of bypass and maybe do or don't have to implement. But at the same time, just think about all the Objective-C that would have somehow been migrated. I mean, you would have had to have practically started from scratch again. All you could reuse are those storyboards that you did early on.
Yeah, we would have had to tell them, sorry, Microsoft, it sounds great, but it's just impossible. And, you know, because of that, now we're on – so on October 26th, we launched on Windows 8 and iOS on the same day. We brought out Android and Amazon Network less than a month later. And we're about to release on the Windows 8 phone and the Windows 7 phone and the Mac operating system in the next month.
And so, 100% all the way around, Xamarin is the basis here that's allowing all of that to happen.
Correct. So like when we added localization, for example, we just translated to 12 languages. And so we added that into the back end. So we changed the back end to support, you know, 12 different languages. We did that one time, and now on all 7 platforms, it completely works all the way across the board.
Wow. This is almost too good to be true. I mean, it sounds crazy. And the fact that you're saying it makes it believable. And it's not something you're just about to release. It's stuff that's already out there. You're actually seeing the rewards and reaping them now. Nat, help me out. First of all, this has got to be a jewel in your crown when you're talking about success stories, huh?
Absolutely. I mean, the most fun part of running a platform company is seeing what your customers are doing, because, you know, you deliver a platform that has certain capabilities, but then people go off and do incredibly creative things with it. And for us, they range so dramatically. I mean, you know, we have now over 11,000 paying customers, which is, you know, all in the last 18 months, and over 220,000 registered developers now. So we've had huge growth. And so for us, it's been really exciting because we have everything from, you know, banks writing line of business apps that drive in simple processes. And frankly, that's a huge percentage of our business are line of business apps and internal corporate apps, because that's what a lot of C# developers do every day. And, you know, ranging to exciting games like Draw a Stickman, you know, music and consumer-facing apps like what Artio does. And so it's – and business – you know, there's all sorts of stuff I can't even talk about. We have tons of aerospace customers. So hopefully we'll have some good stories to tell about Xamarin in space at some point. But
all right, so Nat, I'm pretending I'm a developer. I am a developer. I'm pretending I'm a developer watching this, and I've started my app already, right? I'm already starting to work. Let's say I began with Objective-C. Maybe I began in .NET. I'm writing my Windows 8 app. I'm compelled, right? This is awesome. I want the opportunity to be able to port this over to different platforms, just like you're talking. What do I do with my existing? What can I do? Can I retrofit it? What are their options?
Right. Absolutely. So the first thing we tell people is that C# is the best language for mobile development. So make sure you're writing your app in C#. If you're doing that, then the key thing is just to use ordinary best practices for architecting your code, such that you're separating out the platform-specific user interface code from the rest of your code, your data layer, your services layer, your business logic, or your game levels, or whatever it is.
The more serious and the more dedicated you are to these patterns, the more reuse you're going to have, right? They're related.
.NET developers are used to anyway, right? I mean, you've been doing so.
I like the way you say that.
Yeah.
Very optimistic, yeah.
A lot of good practices out there. So that's the first thing. And then you can download from our website today, you can download our platform, MonoTouch for iOS and Mono for Android and our Mac platform. You can download all of them today for free in a trial mode and give it a shot. And you can do quite a lot of development that way.
Can I open an existing project, or am I going to port my code over to a Xamarin-style project?
You can open an existing solution. We open Visual Studio Solutions. Then you can add a project for it for each platform that you want to support. And you'll be able to import all your DLLs and just use them in many cases unmodified. So if you've got your kind of utility libraries or classes that you've built up over the years, you know, you're going to be able to take those with you. So that's a big part of what the benefit is for people.
Now, aside from the inevitable question of performance, which we've already talked about is a dead issue, right? It's right to machine language.
Yeah.
And then the next question would be, what tools do I need? We were just talking about that. The next question I would anticipate would be, what are my limitations? Are there certain things I can't do
Yeah, I mean, most of the limitations that we have are on iPhone, and they are because of Apple policies on the hardware. And the key thing is that Apple made a security decision not to support code generation at runtime. So the concept is they wanted it so that you can never take a page in memory and that's read-write and make it executable. And the idea was to not allow buffer overflows and other types of exploits like that. So they just made a huge kind of across-the-board sandboxing decision that applies to all iPads and iPhones and iPod Touches. So as a result of that, you can't dynamically generate code at runtime. So there's a few things that you got to watch out for as a result. You can't use system.reflection.emit. That's kind of the main one. Luckily, that's not an incredibly common pattern.
Yeah, that's right. That's an edge case that is not too painful. And I'm sure there are some other smaller scenarios, but they're equally edge cases. Developers are happy.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, most of the time, people have told us it's easier to move their code from Windows 7 to iPhone or to Android than it is to Windows 8 in some cases, because we provide the full BCL, right? So we're not providing you a really restricted subset of the BCL. Pretty much anything you want to use, XML streaming, et cetera, et cetera, it's all there.
You must have some smart nerds on your staff, man. That is impressive.
Well, what I like to say is that we're an overnight success that took 10 years to develop. So,
nice.
If you ignore the first 10 years of Mono development, it's very impressive.
Chris, whenever somebody has an out of the gate success like you did, right, with or your team did, and you have draw a stick man, there's an inevitable question that's going to be asked of what's next. So let me just ask you, what's next? Think about a stick man, or what do you got going on?
I think that's a great question. It's a question that we ask around here all the time. We really like the brand of Draw Stick Man, and we've really taken it a bunch of different directions. So we've thrown around some ideas of the next process, and have been really storyboarding out a lot of what's to come. So we'll just have to sit tight and watch us and see what we come up with.
In the meantime, HitSense is still a consultancy, right?
That's correct. We work with people that are interested in moving to the Xamarin platform, so we do do some consulting work for them as well as development.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have customers all around the world, but where are you guys headquartered?
We are in Bowling Green, Kentucky, but you're right. We're doing a lot of business in the UK. We're doing a lot of business in the United States, California, New York, so we got a lot of big-name clients, and we kind of grew up here, my brother and I, and we've got about 60 developers here. So we've been able to bring people right out of the local university. And so we always say that it allows our pricing structure to be a lot more competitive than most.
Nice. Cool. All right. Nat, last question for you, if you don't mind me asking about my team. Let's just say I'm wanting to talk to them about incorporating Xamarin. What's the cost structure of Xamarin bringing that in on a project?
That's a good question. It's something we were pretty thoughtful about when we were kind of figuring it out at the beginning. Because, you know, if you look at a lot of cross-platform frameworks, they either try to charge like a per-user fee or per app. And we just decided to go with really clear and obvious per-developer pricing. So it's just a tools play. Basically, you pay per-developer, per-platform that you want to support. For independent personal developers or hobbyist developers, people just go into the App Store. We charge $400 per platform and per developer. And for business developers who are doing corporate apps, which make up, you know, a good chunk of our customers, they pay $1,000 per developer. And they get a little higher level of support as a result of that also, in addition to the license to do internal apps for employee distribution. So really clear and simple pricing. People tend to think they're stealing our products from us. it's working out well.
Nice. Okay, guys. Chris, you know, I can't say it enough. Congratulations. You've certainly burned a lot of my time away and done a good job of my daughter's spending a lot of time in your app. It's a lot of fun. It really is. I've never seen anything like it. Super creative. Lots of fun to play. And I tell you what, Nat, with Xamarin, I almost said Mono, with Xamarin, you've really opened up a lot of doors for Microsoft developers to leverage what they've spent, you know, their whole careers learning, and really to leverage what I truly do believe, work for Microsoft or not, is the best tool suite out there and probably the most productive language out there too. Guys, thanks both of you for being on the show.
Thanks so much
for having
us. Yeah. All right, guys, take it easy. And for you, the watcher, don't forget you can go to Xamarin.com, Xamarin.com. You can get a trial right now. Try it yourself. If you're thinking of an app and you're going to have a mobile play, you'd be crazy not to. Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you later.